I want to start with a couple of quick questions just to see who's awake. And the first question's a very simple one. Who here has passed their driving test? Raise your hands. Excellent, because it's beginning to get a bit cold, a bit wet, and I like to know who I can call on for a lift. But the follow-up to that is, why do we need a license to drive? Why do we need a license to drive? It's not a trick question. Feel free to shout out at me. What was that, sorry? Beats you entirely. Well, Karis, I know, knows the answer because she's heard this before twice. So, Karis, what's the answer I'm looking for? Yeah, it's because driving is dangerous, right? We acknowledge as a society, as a community, that driving as an activity can go very wrong. And so anyone who gets behind the wheel needs to be accountable, responsible, competent. Well, how we're doing on that, I don't know. But also aware of the danger and the responsibility that they're taking on. Driving in and of itself isn't bad, but it is an activity that poses great risk. And you'll be pleased to hear that this morning, we're not going to be listening to the 2022 update to the UK Highway Code for half an hour. But what I want to talk about is the tongue. You might have picked it up from the reading we just had. And the reason I want to talk about it is because, just like driving, we each have a responsibility whenever we use it. We each need to be aware, accountable, and competent whenever we use our tongue. And yet, I think in society today, if we look around, the misuse of the tongue, or perhaps in today's mobile phone social media age, where so often we speak with our thumbs instead of our lips, it would be easier to say misuse of our words. If we look around us today in the world, the misuse of words has become rampant. Rampant, it's everywhere. We have people sending vile abuse, threats, to those they've never met, for causing offences as severe as missing a goal in a match of football, or just happening to be a woman. We have websites, group chats, magazines dedicated to spreading rumour and gossip without a thought of the harm it could cause or the real people's lives that we're talking about. Even the idea of the truth is coming under attack more and more, from the very highest levels of our society to our workplaces, our homes, our schools. It's apparently now accepted that everyone lies, that lying is a part of life, that lying is something we should accept. We even have the concept now of the white lie. This strange idea that sometimes it's better to deceive someone than to tell them a difficult truth. And yet, here are just a few of the things that God says about what he expects from us when we open our mouths. In Psalm 34, verse 13, he says, "Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit." I don't think that allows any room for the white lie. I think God is perfectly clear about what he thinks about deceit. Proverbs 16, 28 says, "A dishonest man spreads strife, and a whisperer separates close friends." Could God be any clearer about what he thinks about gossiping? Ephesians 4:29, says, "Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear it." I don't think God could be any clearer about what he expects when we open our mouths. Our words matter to God. Old Testament, New Testament, he's been entirely consistent again and again and again, and yet the world has not heard him. Jesus, during his time teaching on earth, made clear just why our words matter so much to God. He says in Matthew 12, verses 33 to 37, "For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. The good man from his good treasure brings forth good, and the evil man from his evil treasure brings forth evil. I tell you, on the day of judgment, each person will give account for every careless word they speak." Let that sink in for a second. Every person will give account to God for every careless word we speak. Not malicious, not harmful, careless, thoughtless, insensitive. That is the high standard that God puts on our words. And why? Because our words reveal something of what's going on in our hearts. When our words are bad, it's a sign that there is something evil taking root in our hearts. And notice that Jesus doesn't say, "The okay man from his okay treasure sometimes brings forth good and sometimes brings forth bad, and on the whole we call that a balance and it's all right." Jesus is really clear. You're either speaking good or you're speaking evil. Everything we put out into the world is either good or evil. So if your words are critical and overly harsh, ask yourself, is judgment beginning to take root in my heart? If your words are mean, are cruel, ask yourself, is there resentment towards this person or this situation taking root in my heart? Because our words show what's really going on within us. It's why it's so important. But James chapter 3 goes even further, because he says that not only are our words a sign of what's happening in our heart, but our words help to steer our heart towards that good treasure or that bad treasure. Look at the ships. This is verse 4. "Look at the ships. Though they are so large and driven by strong winds, they are guided by a very small rudder wherever the will of the pilot directs. So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things." Our words help shape the direction of our lives, the direction of our relationships, and the direction of our hearts. You might be asking how. I certainly was. And one of my favorite things is when God says something in the Bible thousands of years ago, and modern scientists decide to investigate the exact same thing, and their conclusion is exactly the same as what God says in the Bible 2,000 years ago. In the last 50 years, there's been a lot of research done into something called the reiteration effect. On a very basic level, what this means is the more you hear something, The more you hear something and the more you say something, the more you believe it to be true. The more you say it, the more you hear it, the more you believe it to be true. Isn't that exactly what James is saying when he talks about the tongue being a rudder that steers our ship? And another name for the reiteration effect is the illusion of truth effect. And it's because the more we hear something, the more we believe it to be true, even if it's a lie. Ask yourself, how many people in the world today believe that they are hopeless because all their lives they've been told they will never amount to anything? How many people in the world today believe that no one, not even God, could love them because they've been told all their lives again and again and again that they are bad, that they are unwanted? It's true, isn't it? The more we hear something, the more we take it in. And the world is so full of lies that seek to penetrate our hearts. And notice that James is saying this to Christians. This book is written to people who already believe in Jesus. So these lies penetrating our hearts is a risk, even for those of us who already know God. How many sins, how many acts of wrongdoing start by saying something? It might be to yourself, it might be to someone else. But how often do our words steer us into taking the wrong action? How often do we say to ourselves, well, I don't think God really minds if I do that? Or perhaps we say to ourselves, I'm sure that just once couldn't possibly hurt. Or perhaps we even just say to ourselves, I know best. I can do whatever I want. If we're not careful, we can so quickly fall into a trap where the more we hear something, the more we believe it to be true. And the more we believe it to be true, the more we act upon it. And the more we ourselves begin to say it. And then not only are we hearing it more and believing it more and acting upon it more, but the people around us are also hearing it more and believing it more and acting upon it more. If our tongues are not speaking the good truth of God, then we are helping to steer people towards the wrong things, towards that evil treasure that Jesus talked about. And James also highlights just how powerfully destructive our tongues can be. I don't know about you, but I grew up hearing the nursery rhyme, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words can never hurt me. Does anyone else know that nursery rhyme? It's rubbish, right? You know, words can humiliate. Words can cause very real harm. I think we can all remember a time when what someone has said to us has hurt as much or more than any physical blow. You know, one example from my own life is when I was at school, I used to dread swimming lessons. Not because I didn't like the water, but because I was the only child in my school who had a chlorine allergy, and I had to wear goggles. And for some obscure health and safety reason, the head teacher didn't like the fact that I had to wear goggles. And so he only referred to me in swimming lessons as Goggle Boy. He knew my name, by the way. Like, it wasn't just that it was... He only called me Goggle Boy. And I felt so humiliated by that very simple thing that I used to dread swimming lessons. Because his words made me feel so humiliated. I mean, I'll freely admit, it's not the worst thing that anyone's ever said to me. But it is 11:30 on a Sunday morning, so got to keep it clean. It's true, though, isn't it, that our words have real power. James says in 5-7, how great a forest is set ablaze by a small fire, and the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the whole course of life with the fire of hell. Sounds pretty extreme, doesn't it? Well, on the 13th of July, 2021, a tree fell on a power line in California. And this started a small brush fire. Initially, the fire was small enough that a technician who arrived on the scene felt confident trying to tackle it on his own. He didn't manage to put the fire out. And the fire grew overnight, and it continued to grow. And when they finally put that fire out, 3 months later, it had burnt more than 960,000 acres of California countryside. Now, to put that in perspective, 960,000 acres is around 2.5 times the size of London. It's how big the area this one fire destroyed was. 1,300 buildings burnt to the ground. 26,000 people had to leave their homes. And by the time they finally put the fire out, one fire had caused over $1 billion of damage. So when James says that our tongues are a fire, he's not mincing his words. If we don't control what we say, then the misuse of words will sweep through our community. It will burn down our relationships. And what's more, it will undermine the work we're trying to do for God. Make no mistake. Here's just a few very basic examples. If we lie at work and our colleagues see us, lying to our boss about why we've missed the deadline or why we're late, and they've seen us lie there, how can we expect them to believe us when we tell them the truth, that Jesus Christ is their Lord and Savior and the only way to heaven? Because if they see us lying in the little things, they won't believe us when we tell the truth about the extraordinary. If we allow gossip to spread amongst us as a community, then how can we build the friendship, the relationship, the togetherness that we really want? Because if what I say over here is over there by the end of the day, I'm not going to say anything. And none of you are going to know me. And I'm not going to know you. And so the community we're trying to build will be burnt to the ground. There'll be nothing holding us together. If we speak judgmentally, if our words are quick to be critical and harsh when someone tells us something that they've done wrong, how can we expect them to confess their sins to us and ask us to support them as they try to live better for God? Our words have immense power. Even more basically, if we're not nice to one another, if our words aren't kind to one another, is anyone going to look at us and say, that's a loving community I want to be a part of? They've got something about them that I'd like to know more about. They're not. Our words can grow and grow into a fire that will undermine the work we're trying to do for God. Now, we'll all have a slip of the tongue. We'll all occasionally get it wrong. I don't know about you, but when I heard Jesus say, we'll give account for every careless word, my first reaction was, we might be there sometime, Lord. My family say that I learnt to speak very early. My first word was magpie. I don't know why. Second word was spitfire. That's more like it. I learnt to speak very early, and I've never stopped since. My grandpa at the dinner table used to give me 2 pence for every 5 minutes that I could hold my tongue. And I did not get many pennies. But I've said a lot of careless words. And we all will have these slips of the tongue. But what we need to do is spot the sparks and fight the fires when they're small. Sometimes all it takes is to be willing to humble yourself and make the apology that I think in your heart you know you need to make, but in your body you're too proud to stoop to. If we spot the sparks early, if we fight them when the fire is small, we can put that out. But if we let it grow amongst us, if it becomes something that is everywhere, that we're all sucked into, then fighting that fire is a much bigger ask. And that brings us to the ultimate question of this passage. How do we tame the tongue? And when I first read James chapter 3, verses 7 to 8, I wasn't overly impressed by what he had to say. Because it made it seem like a hopeless task. He says, "For every creature can be tamed, but no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison." Thanks, James. You've just told me that my tongue will steer me towards good or evil. You've just told me that my tongue can burn down the whole course of my life with the fire and power of hell, and now you've told me there's nothing I can do about it. I really appreciate that. As one of my old bosses used to say, don't bring me problems, bring me solutions. And when I first read it, I thought, that's that. I may as well give up. I may as well go home. Why am I taking up people's Sunday morning with such a disheartening message? And then I looked a little deeper. Because the truth is that no man, no woman, no child can tame the tongue. But there was one who did it for us. It's Jesus. It's a spoiler alert. Jesus tamed the tongue for us. He's the only one ever to walk on this earth who has never said a careless word. Can you imagine that? Jesus, even though he knew every innermost secret, of all the people he met, he never gossiped. You know, at the wedding at Cana, he knew who'd stolen a kiss behind the bushes, but he told no one. His tongue was under perfect control. Even when he suffered the worst insult and injury, his tongue did not respond in hatred. His tongue responded in love. On the cross, as he hung there, as soldiers gambled for his only earthly possessions, his words were, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." I don't know about you, but I think if it was me up there, I'd be thinking, "Father, smite them. That's my coat." It's amazing. When you think of it that way, it blows my mind. That's how incredible Jesus was. And because he did that, because he kept perfect control of his tongue, all the poison that our own tongues pour out has been applied unto him so that we can receive his perfection. We can receive his perfection. And so James is right. The first step to taming our tongue is to acknowledge that we can't do it and to ask for the help of the only one who can. If you know that your heart is struggling, if you know that certain wrong things are seeping in a little bit, then you can go to the one whose heart is pure and say, Jesus, let me speak from your heart because I know mine will let me down. If your tongue is wild, if you know that it's quick to lash out, quick to anger, you can go to Jesus and say, your tongue always spoke life. Let me speak with your tongue and let my own go. That is the power of Jesus. And if you're here today and you don't know him and you're thinking, like I did, I've said a lot of careless words. Or you've started fires that seem to have burnt down your relationships and you don't know where to go, you don't know how to escape, you don't know how to put them out, then that offer of Jesus is there for you today as well. If you've had lies spoken over you all your life, if you know that the ship of your life has been steered off course, then that offer of Jesus is there for you. And the wind of his truth will so quickly bring you back. So quickly bring you back. And if you'd like to know more about that, then please come and speak to me or speak to Nick, who's been at the front throughout the service at the end. And we'd love to tell you more about the amazing truth of Jesus and how you can know that freedom for yourself. So we recognize that our tongues matter, that we have a responsibility to use them well. And the first way we can do that is by asking for help from the God who is the only one whose tongue was always under control. But there's something else that I'd really like to encourage us to do more and more as a community. And that's to speak blessing over one another. It's like James says in verses 10 to 12, from the same mouth comes blessing and cursing. My brothers, these ought not to be so. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening fresh and salt water? Every time you or I open our mouths, we're either pouring out fresh, life-giving water and truth of God, or salt water that will dehydrate, that will drain life from the people around us. And so we can take a moment and say to ourselves, whenever we're thinking of speaking, is what I have to say life-giving in this moment? To go back to that verse from Ephesians, is what I have to say going to bring grace and lift up the person who hears it? My mum used to say to me when I was a kid, if you haven't got anything kind to say, it's better to say nothing at all. It's better to say nothing at all. So when you're thinking of saying something to someone, just stop for a few seconds and ask yourself, is what I have to say to them a blessing? Or is it, as James says, a curse? Because again, there is no either or. It's either going to give life or it's going to take life. And as Jesus said, each of us has a responsibility to give life, to give blessing, like Peter did earlier, to speak blessing over one another. Now, I'm sure there are people for you, like there are for me, that you struggle to bless because you find them a bit difficult. But here's the great thing about blessing. It's not about what saying you think about. It's not about saying what you think about a person. It's about saying what God thinks about a person. And so there we go back to it again. Jesus, what do you want to say to this person in this moment? because my heart might let me down. If you're about to go into a meeting with someone who really winds you up, Jesus, how can I hold my tongue and speak blessing right now? It's something we're all going to have to work on. It's like driving. You don't suddenly pass your test and stop getting better. You don't suddenly pass your test and not have to think about it anymore, not have to care about it anymore. Your words matter. You have a responsibility to use them well. And through the help of Jesus, and by consciously trying to bring blessing, you can.